You're listening to the Rock Mop Podcast, featuring in-depth interviews with your favorite signed and unsigned artists on their musical journeys, life sacrifices, tour stories, and more. Get up close and personal with our guests and tune in every week for brand new episodes. Now, here's your host, Ryan Bennett.
A cat scratch, a whiplash, a witch hunt in black, sandpaper.
Yeah. RockMobPodcast.com. Back with a brand new episode featuring Billy motherfucking Gray from the band Fozzy. That's who you're listening to right there. Sandpaper, their latest single off their latest album, Sin and Bone. Fucking straight up rock and fucking roll. Made up of a band, some of my old school favorites, Stuck Mojo, Rich Ward, Bud. I don't even want to talk, I just want to listen. Fucking rock. Hear that? Billy Gray and myself, we go back quite a bit, probably about 10 years. Same as most of my buddies on this podcast. We go back. I like to have my friends on the show. I like to talk about old shit. Today on this podcast, I find out something that I didn't know about Billy. We actually would have crossed paths many, many moons ago, back when I was 17, in 97, 98, somewhere around there. Too fucking cool. You'll hear all about that. You'll hear all about Billy, how he got in Fozzy, his old band, Sound Device, how I met him. How Sound Device switched over into Dangerous New Machine, who I shared the stage with quite a few times, including my last band's last show before we broke the fuck up, Dear Enemy. Who I probably talk about too much on this podcast. This ain't about me. It's about all the other cool motherfuckers that I talk to. But still, Dear Enemy, still a cool motherfucking band. If you never heard of us, give us a look up. I still just want to rock. That's all that is. That silence in my voice is just Fozzy fucking rocking. Before I get into this interview with Billy Gray, I take that lightly, the word interview. I don't like using it. This conversation with a fucking good friend of mine. We're going to rock out a little bit more of this sandpaper. Then I'll let you know about some sponsors. Job, I don't want to fucking rock. Sandpaper. Fozzy's got a new album coming out too. You're gonna hear all about that, the recording process of that. You're gonna hear about the writing process, all the touring that Fozzy does overseas, and you know, Billy's favorite fucking food. All kinds of cool shit. But first off, before we get into the rest of the interview, conversation podcast. Again, this is the RockMobPodcast.com. Thanks for coming back and listening. Starting to build up a really cool fan base already, and getting lots of followers on the Podomatic website and on iTunes. And please, you guys get out there and leave some comments and some reviews. I want to see that on iTunes. It'll really help out the podcast, jump ratings and everything. And leave some comments. I want to know how I'm doing, how this whole thing's rolling out, and you know what you guys think about it. So go to iTunes or to the Podomatic website, which is linked up through rockmobpodcast.com, and leave some comments, leave some reviews, rate that motherfucker. And if I talk too much and I'm boring, let me know that too. Maybe I'll fix it. Maybe I won't. But real quick, this podcast was developed through a website. I had to have this website built before I could do anything, before I could kind of take it over and launch it to you guys, to let you guys hear it. So I needed a website. a good website, not just some cheesy Wix shit. So I went to my friend Gogi Randawa for Misunderstood Designs and primarily Blue Video. He built it for me, therefore he's my sponsor. Couldn't do this without my boy Gogi. Well, Misunderstood Designs and primarily Blue Video, it's your one-stop shop for all things digital creative, logo design, graphic design, web design, branding, video production, editing, animation, camera work, printing. He'll even write a fucking a tune for you. You need music? Gogi is your man. Design your business at Misunderstood Designs and Primarily Blue Video. Check out the work at Primarily Blue Video. I'm sorry, primarilyblue.com. Or you can go the hard way and go to misunderstooddesigns.com and just remember to take out the vowels from misunderstood. That's go to primarilyblue.com. It's easy. But remember, perception is everything. Got another kick-ass sponsor for musicians. Any type of performing artist, comedian, actor, model, any other type of 1099 employee that's in the industry that, you know, if you're one of those and you fall into that category, you book employment, right? You should be using personal contracts, performance contracts, right? If you're not, if you're going to fuck yourself, Planet Tour.com. PlanIT tour.com. They provide users with a personalized, easy-to-use, editable online rider contract area ready for customizing and printing from anywhere in the fucking world. One page to rule them fucking all. PlanetTour.com. 100% free web service. It's free. I said free. Built and created by a performer for performers, venues, and sponsors only. You sign up, create a page, fill out your contract, share your page, and fucking get booked. It's that fucking easy. Get booked and get paid and make sure those motherfuckers stick to your contract. And get that contract from PlanetTour.com. PlanetTour.com. Planet before you tour it. Now, let's fucking rock out a little bit more with that Fozzy. It's fucking evil. Evil. Chris Jericho brings you the band Fozzy. Fozzy brings you the guitar player Billy Gray. Here's Billy Gray. Let's get into this. Remember, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, subscribe. Email me too. That's one thing I haven't thrown out there yet. If you want to hear any particular questions of somebody coming up that I might have, or if you have a suggestion on how I should, you know, better this podcast, or you have suggestions on who you want me to talk to and bring on the podcast, I'm more than happy to listen, and I'll absolutely write back, and you know, we'll chat and we'll try to, you know, figure out to get the awesome guests that you want to hear. I'll talk to them. I'll fucking talk to anybody. I'll talk to a fucking brick wall. Ask all my best friends. But here we go. Billy Gray, band Fozzy, Dangerous New Machine, Old Time Sound Device, Method 51. You're going to hear all about that band and how that correlates to me back in 98. Here we go. Billy Gray! You're listening to the Rock Mob Podcast. Today's episode, Billy Gray from the band Fozzy. What's up, my man?
What's up, Ryan? How you doing, dude?
Great, dude. Great. Thanks for coming in on the podcast with me here.
Thanks for having me, man. Thank you so much.
This is going to be fun, man. I got a bunch of cool stuff we're going to talk about. And first off, we're doing this interview at the second interview at the in-house.
Yeah.
Not an official sponsor, but a place that Billy's come to get some work done.
Love the work here.
And
love the work.
Also done some work for Frank, Bud.
Yeah, Bud from Fozzy, drummer, drum heads, and all kinds of stuff for us.
Yep. So if you listeners out there see the two kick drum heads with the Fozzy logos on, chances are I printed those. So
yeah.
That's what I do here in house. A quick little sponsor, little plug right here. I do printing, you know, print banners for bands, and like, you know,
T-shirts. Yeah.
Shirts, logo design.
Logo design.
Did that for Billy. Yeah. All those shirts you guys see in pictures of Billy, it's stuff that I printed here.
Yeah.
It's cool stuff. Print stickers, banners, signs, all kinds of cool shit. iPhone cases. You know?
Hey.
You want your own custom Billy Gray iPhone case? You let me know. Send me an email. So,
But that's it. So we're doing that interview here, and we're going to have fun. So how I always like to start these podcasts off is before music, like you know, before music even came in your life, and most of these interviews I do, I always ask this question, what was the, you know, what was the little Billy Gray like? You know, but everybody always ends up telling me how music came into their life right there. But I want to go before music. You know, what were you like when you were little? Did you play sports? Did you...
Yeah, I played ice hockey. Ice hockey player, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, I was into ice hockey pretty much until guitar came into my life. And,
okay.
Yeah, my dad was a player and I played and yeah, ice hockey and actually, you know, like shooting, whether it be guns or bows and arrows, I was into shooting too, you know.
So. Okay, where'd you grow up?
In Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So hockey in Charlotte.
Hockey in Charlotte, okay. Dude, yeah. My dad used to wake up 5:30 a.m., get me to the rink at 7:30 for the games. And yeah, man, I was killer.
So you, you
still
got
skate
in,
now.
Still do?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you got into hockey through your dad?
Through my dad, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And he, you said he played?
Yes, yes. And, for the Charlotte team called the Checkers.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So used to go out there and practice with them. I remember being a kid and practicing in the arena with the hockey team, and it was pretty surreal. I still remember it, you know.
Oh, super cool.
It's pretty cool, man.
So how old were you when you got started with that?
I was probably 5 or 6 years
old.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, yeah. Probably maybe, you know, 7 tops, you know, and then 7 through 11 was pretty much hockey, and then guitar came in, and that was it.
That's how it was with me in baseball.
Thank you, Van Halen.
Yep, no doubt. That's how it was with me in guitar. Thank you, Kirk Hammett and James Hetfield.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it was time to set up for me to start playing baseball, and I was in line to go sign up, and I'm like, no, I just want to play my guitar, Mom.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with you in ice hockey.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what were you like? You said 11.
Yeah.
Okay, so how did guitar take over your life? How'd music come into your life?
You know, it was weird. It was like when I was, you know, maybe 10, my dad always had an electric guitar in the closet. So I always liked the way it looked. I thought it was cool. I'd take it out sometimes, but I'd throw it back in there. So when I was maybe 10, started messing around with it. So my mom picks it up and just off the cuff on the high E string figures out Puff the Magic Dragon.
Nice.
Off the cuff. I'm like, wow, we sat down and she taught it to me. So I was, man, that's pretty darn cool, you know? So I always liked it, but then her friend had a son who had a big PV stack and had distortion in the head and everything. Had a Les Paul, Aria Pro 2 Les Paul copy. I walked in there and he was playing "Don't Look Back" by Boston.
Okay.
And I was just like, wow, I got to do that.
How cool is that?
I loved it, so I started taking guitar lessons from him.
Okay.
For a bit, and then I went and saw Van Halen play live on the Diver Down tour.
Oh, yeah.
That was it.
Done.
Done deal.
Yeah. Cool. So how much older was this kid that started giving you lessons?
He was about 5-6 years older.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what kind of, like, how did it work giving you lessons? What did he teach you first? Do you remember?
Stairway to Heaven. He taught me some of Stairway to Heaven, and then I went to the guy that taught him, who was a reputable teacher in Charlotte. So I started going to him and actually learned it, like, all the way, note for note, every solo, lick, blah, blah, blah. And I kept taking from him until he eventually went on tour with his band, did his thing or whatever. And,
okay.
And took lessons for a while and just started on my own after that, pretty much.
So was your first guitar that same guitar that was in the closet?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about, so you had a guitar, what about an amp?
An amp, my dad bought me a PV stage amp.
Yes.
And it, it lasted for about 6 months. The speaker blew. We took it to get this, we took it to a music store to get it fixed. The guy ended up being a junkie on drugs and sold it.
No.
Yeah. So we walked in and he was like, oh, one of the guys who works here ended up selling a bunch of my stuff. Just go out there and pick you out another one. So I ended up picking out another PV amp, you know. After that, I saved my money for freaking like 3 years and bought my first Marshall half stat.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was killer.
Whew, yeah.
Wish I still had that.
What kind was it?
Old JCM 800, dude, with a flat, the bottom cab with a gray front on it. It was badass, dude.
So how'd you save your money back then? What were you doing for work?
Cutting grass freaking anything my family would put me to work doing.
What was your first job?
First job was teaching guitar, dude.
No way.
Junior high school, you know. I knew how to play some solos, so everybody, you know, some friends would want to, you know, come over and learn and whatnot. So finally, I was, hey, man, I'll start teaching you guitar lessons for $10 an hour, you know. Boom, you know.
That's
high school, I was...
You're making really? More than I was making working at McDonald's. $6.15 an hour.
It's fucking cool.
So I started doing a little bit of that, you know. And
yeah.
God bless my mom. She put up with a lot of crap for me and just different stuff like that. She had a she worked for a dude who owned some apartments, so I cut the grass over there, you know, some guitar lessons.
Yeah.
Saved up, got that half stack. Boom.
Right on. So you probably... What, 16, 17 around there?
I was 13 when I got that damn half stack.
Oh, 13?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was 13.
13 with a half stack.
Hell yeah.
You're the coolest kid in the fucking neighborhood.
I didn't even want to go to school anymore. I'm staying home.
Playing, right?
I'm staying home. My mom had bought me a Les Paul copy, and dude, I was like,
yes.
You know?
So what'd you play when, like, what were you playing? What were you playing and how were you learning those songs back when you were a kid?
Learning them via guitar lessons at first. And I was playing, I'd have the dude, you know, of course, I'd have him try to figure out anything from Randy Rhoads to Judas Priest to Van Halen and stuff like that.
So you told him what? I want to learn this.
I want to learn this note for note. Please, let's make it happen as good as you can.
So he's teaching solos and everything.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, cool. Yeah. But it would be over long periods of time to, you know, to actually learn the solo and get it right and whatnot. But finally got onto it. And then I had a tape recorder I discovered that would slow everything down to half speed.
Oh, okay.
So I just cut that guitar teacher right out. You know?
Right. Hell yeah.
So I started doing that. And, you know, Van Halen, like I said, Ozzy, Speak of the Devil, you know, that live record. That was right after Randy Rhoads died. I was just all into Randy Rhoads then. And when that record came out, I was disappointed that he wasn't on it, but I still loved it because it was really good and
yeah.
You know, all that stuff.
So this is like, this is no tablatures or anything like that. It's all ear.
Mm.
And learning everything by ear.
And, you know, now I do more tablature, really. If I want to learn something, pfft, ultimateguitarguy.com, bam, there it is. See ya. Yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm. Done and done. Learn mm-hmm. that shit quick. Well, cool. So what about your first band?
God, man, that was my first gig was in the eighth grade talent show.
Mine was in an eighth grade talent show.
Dude,
yes.
Yeah, we played "Looks That Kill" by Motley Crue.
Yeah,
and I did the beginning of "Mean Street" by Van Halen. I tried my best to pull it off as good as I could. You know, we did that, and those were the two. Those were the musical pieces we did, and it was pretty killer. You know.
Okay, so how'd you start the band?
These kids that I went to school with, oh man, you play guitar. We're doing this. We're going to have a band for the talent show. You know, you want to be the guitar player? Yeah, man. Hell yeah. Cool. Yeah.
The
dude's mom would freaking take us over to the kid's house and freaking let us rehearse, bring us back, bring me back home and shit. So, you know, I did it.
You're probably the only kid in school with a half stack, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I had the half stack at that show, dude. I was, my mom pulled it in. We pulled it out of the back of the car at the show. It was awesome.
The baddest motherfucker in school. Right on. So did that band go on to, you know, do anything else? Play any more shows or anything?
That was it.
So what about your first real band?
First real band was with a buddy of mine who lives in Hollywood now, works for Revolver magazine. His name's Possum Hill.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know him or not, but he...
I've seen that name in probably, I guess, maybe in...
He works for Revolver magazine. He also is a video director for Capitol Records. He's done well out there.
Really?
Himself. Yeah.
Awesome.
But
from
he's a great
too?
Drummer, too. Yeah, from Charlotte.
Cool.
Yeah. We had a band called Sleaze Patrol.
Sleaze Patrol.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we were like a hair glam band, of course.
Yeah, and, okay.
Yeah, we did our thing. And I ended up moving to L.A. with him, and he and I had... couple of musical bands, you know, a couple bands out there. One was called Forest Entry. We played all the Hollywood clubs and all that shit. And came back and anything relevant after that started with a band called Method 51. And that's how I met Rich and those guys again. And
I remember that name,
really?
Method 51.
We played here quite a few times.
Method 51.
We had a record out on PC Music. They were distributed through, I think, Atlantic.
Okay. Was that like late 90s era?
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to say...
Rap rock style.
Okay.
A bit rap rock.
Because I want... Okay.
Did we play with you guys?
I want to say... Well, I had a band went out in 97, 98. Yeah. It was called Yuppie Scum.
We were
a rap, kind of rap core metal band, metal core band or whatever. And we had a show with the band in at the Samba Reptile. And I remember a band being from North Carolina that was on a record deal, and they couldn't make the show. And that name sounds really fucking familiar.
I wonder if that was it.
With a band called The Noise Hood.
We toured with them. I don't know why we didn't make that show, dude.
We always played with
The Noise Hood a lot, though. They were from Virginia.
That had to have been your band then. Holy shit.
Yep, that had to have been.
That's another like really cool thing about this podcast that I call it a circle of life and music.
It is, yeah, that's
because like the people I have on are all friends that I talk to, and I have backstories and shit, and like stuff like this comes out.
Yep.
What the hell?
That's crazy. It had to have been because, dude, I think we might have even booked that tour that we were on, but I think something happened to one of the band members, family members. I can't remember, but I know we had to miss some shows with the Noise Hood because we're the one who brought them out on this little run we were doing.
That's fucking wow.
That is wow, dude. That's crazy. Amazing.
Because I just remember this bigger band that was out on tour with the Noise Hood, and they had to cancel last minute, and I was bummed because I really wanted to play with a bigger band, but still.
Wow. That's crazy shit, dude.
That's 15 years later. Mm-hmm. So Method 51, what happened with that?
We did our thing and ended up, the record label released our album, and they stayed in business probably for another 7 months after it came out, and then they folded as a business. So we were free to go, and things just didn't work out. That's when I hooked up with Rich and them and moved to Atlanta.
How'd you hook up with Rich and them?
We had opened for them a bunch, Method 51. We had opened for Mojo a bunch. But it turns out Rich is from my hometown, too. So we knew of each other. You know, we just never really hung out back in the day. So anyway, and that, you know, after Method 51 had opened up, and we had the same sound, and he was using a sound guy that the Method had used and whatnot, and sound dude hooked me up with him, and you know, got a tryout over here in Roswell. Went to the band room, tried out. Freaking shit! How long? About 8 years later, moved to a house right around the corner.
Yeah,
but I've lived in apartments around here ever since.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So the Six Speed was already a band at this
point. Yeah,
band,
they
right?
were. Yeah,
because that was Rich's band after Mojo.
They were already going.
Yeah. Because I remember going to see you guys at Ten High way back then, and I also remember Six Speed playing at one of the not Downtown Rocks, one of the Centennial.
Yeah, we played free with Hoobastank down there.
Yep.
Yeah,
who also another Circle of Life point. 10 Till 4 was on that bill with you guys.
Yeah, they I remember opened. 10 Till 4. Yeah, I remember.
You do remember Kickass band.
Yeah,
what 10 Till 4 singer Ethan Stewart.
Ethan.
Yep, obviously went on to play with me in Subject to Change.
That's
which is how I met you through Sound Device.
Sound Device. I was getting ready. That's where we met. Yeah, exactly. Wow.
So I didn't even realize that you were playing in Six Speed back then.
Yeah,
I didn't. Yeah. I didn't know you. So
exactly.
Wow.
Damn, that's crazy, isn't it, dude? This is the circle of life
in music. It's fucking.
And I always heard of Dear Enemy. I was like, and I'd listen to stuff and be like, damn, they're cool, man. I never got to see you live, but I always heard of y'all a lot. And then, well, Ryan from Dear Enemy's got the in-house graphics. We're going to go over there and get shirts made and whatnot. Next thing, we played the Wild Bills with you guys with Dangerous New Machine.
Yep, that's right.
And, it was a circle.
Which was our last show.
That was crazy, too.
We broke up like 3 weeks later.
When I heard that, I was like, why the fuck did they break up? They got a badass crowd. I mean, I was just bewildered by that. Why'd they do that, you know?
Trust me, I was too, man.
I was really bewildered by that, dude. I really was.
Yeah, so what else went on with Six Speed? You guys, after that show, you went on and did more? What happened?
Yeah, we did a few things, and, you know, I was doing the Fozzy thing here and there, but Fozzy wasn't as a serious band back then. You know, it was just more of a fun thing, and it still is a fun thing, but...
more of a cover.
More of a cover.
Because wasn't it at one point called Fozzy Osbourne?
Yeah, and then Sharon Osbourne... Put the ink's nail on that.
Did she really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So anyway, it was more of a cover thing back then. So I hooked up with Eric, and we formed a project called Sound Device, and ended up doing quite a bit with that.
Dangerous New Machine came around, and what happened with Sound Device? Why did Sound Device end up cutting out? And well, turning into a dangerous new machine.
Well, you know, most of the band sound device, you know, we had Chaney Brannon in there. He's been in Collective Soul, and he had a nice studio in town. He was a great musician, great friend. He ended up not working out with D&M, with Sound Device. Neither did the bass player or the other guitarist, and it kind of just, you know, me and Eric were the last ones standing, so we kind of formed a couple of things that ended up being Dangerous New Machine, and we took off for a bit with it, and it turns out it didn't work out as well either. And during that time, I got the chance to start playing with Fozzy again, which is kind of taking off really well these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So back to Fozzy, mm-hmm. and Fozzy and Six Speed at that time. How did Rich end up playing with Fozzy, and how'd that come together for you and for Rich and everything way back when?
Rich and Chris started that. Chris, somebody had told Chris he needed to. Chris is a big music fan, rock music fan, all kinds of music. He is a huge music fan, very knowledgeable about any kind of band, every style. I mean, very knowledgeable. So somebody told him, hey man, you want to go see a good band? Go see Stuck Mojo. Went and saw him, met Rich. They started talking about doing a cover project on the side for fun, and that's how Fozzy was born.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how did Chris Jericho come into this situation then?
Just his buddy told him to go see Stuck Mojo.
That's it.
That's it. Simple. Went and saw him, met Rich, boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
So he was a singer already, wanted to be in a band.
Yeah, or they just, you know.
Wasn't even that, just wanted to jam.
Yeah, wanted to jam. He's a music lover and wanted to be in a band, so they talked about him being the singer. Boom, boom, boom. There you go.
That's it. Super cool. So then Dangerous New Machine kind of fizzles off.
Yeah.
So I know at another point you were on, you had a record deal with 4 Records.
Yeah, we did with Rusty Cobb. Yeah.
Which I joined the band Fervor, and I was kind of quote-unquote label mates with
him. I love that dude. That singer for Fervor, he's good.
Low. Yeah.
Yeah, Low's awesome. Yeah.
Awesome friends.
Talented dude.
Yes, super talented. So, you know, and 4 Records end up not working for them. I guess something went south with them and you guys. Is that right?
Or was it
the record label? Or
it wasn't even the record label. I mean, I don't know what happened with their company and what they wanted to do with it. But we never ended up recording over there with Rusty, because that was the deal. He was going to record everything, and you know, we had to deal through that, and we just never ended up recording anything else, because actually D&M kind of fizzled out really as far as getting a drummer to really stay in there and do things. So can't really, I mean, it was on both sides really. You know?
Very cool. So Fozzy again comes back around. And, for all these years that they've been playing, did they have another guitar player?
Yeah, they had a couple of them. They had, what's his name? Ryan. God, I can't remember Ryan's last name. He's an awesome guitar player. They call him the Kid. Ryan Malum is his name, and he was a great guitar player. He was around for a while. He even did gigs with Mojo back in the day.
He's
a second guitar player. He's an awesome guitar player, awesome musician. Had him for a while. They had Mike Martin, who's also another badass guitar player.
I've seen Mike Martin play.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. So they had him for a while, and and then after him, they during the Chasing the Grail record. Or after that was made for the touring, something didn't work out with him. I don't know what happened. That's when I got the opportunity to do it again.
Cool. So was it like a come fill in and play some shows, or was it like, hey, let's Billy, you're back in the band. You're our player.
It was right after I went and jammed with him again. It was, got the call from the manager. Hey, they want you to be the guy. I was like, okay, I'll be the guy. And it's really become way more. It seems like it's become way more and more ever since. You know, it's really become a close band and close family.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, you guys do a lot.
Yeah.
I noticed on Facebook your pictures from all over the fucking world, and mm-hmm. you get to travel, and you're playing everywhere. That's just so cool that you had that opportunity, and they gave you that opportunity.
Yeah, man. Blessed to be with them, dude. Blessed to be with them, dude, for sure.
So you're in the band, you tour overseas a good bit.
Yeah.
You almost seem to tour overseas more than you do the States.
We have a lot over there, but thank God we did that tour. We did the Uproar tour here back August 2012. we did another U.S. tour right after that to, you know, kind of back it up. It was an East Coast tour. Then it was Europe, and Australia again, or two Europes and an Australia. Then, thank God, we did America back this past September and October with Saxon. And then we went back to went to Australia after that. And
why do you say thank God?
Because I love touring America.
Okay. Right on. Yeah.
I love the rest of the world, but God, I love touring America.
Yeah, really? So
freaking cell phone use, ice in your drink.
Ice in your drink.
Laundry at the freaking hotel. I mean.
So you don't get those.
Complimentary things. Breakfast at the hotel. Yeah.
You don't get those things overseas?
Mm-mm.
No?
No. It's different over there, bro.
But so what's it like over there? I've never even been overseas.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You're over there all the time. What's it like?
Well, to use the cell phone, you know, you're going to charge. You're going to get a prepaid plan and do it that way. You got to be smart about it or you're going to get busted, yeah. You know. So then, you know, hey, you want a freaking drink from McDonald's? You freaking go get your drink. You drink it real quick. You want a refill? You got to buy another drink.
What?
Yeah. How many ice cubes you got in there? Two or three? Yeah. I want ice in a drink. You're looking at there's three ice cubes. Okay. And air conditioning? Not happening.
What?
Yeah.
What, anywhere?
Australia, yeah. Definitely.
Australia?
They have Australia. They have it, but in Europe, they don't. Europe, no, really? No AC.
Just like none?
No.
Not even like a little bit. What do they do to keep you cool?
Most of the venues we play and stuff like that. Now, thank God the buses do. The buses are nice over there for us. And the venues are nice. They always have pro sound and lighting. They're always top notch on that. It's just, you know, it gets hot over there, dude. It's pretty crazy.
So you're on stage busting your ass.
Oh, man.
Sweating.
Ceiling's fucking sweating, dude. I mean, crazy.
Why is that? Do you even know?
I don't know. I just know that when we go over there to play, it's like, well, I'm going to be on the freaking non-heavy food diet, yeah. And I'm going to be sweating a lot. So just be ready, you know.
So how's the water over there? Is it cold?
It is. Yeah, there's cold water. Hell, to get hot water is a damn commodity. Isn't that crazy? And they always have one here and one there, you know, like the old days, especially in the UK, it's still like, here's the hot water, here's the cold water.
Like two different things.
Yeah, so you're trying to mix the two up and, yeah.
Wow, that's got to take some getting used to. And
it does, yeah. It does. So,
okay, well, one of my questions on here is...
But the rock crowds rule and the fans are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the venues are killer,
so,
too.
So the main difference is, I was going to ask what are the main differences. You just clarified all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, the accommodations overseas in UK suck compared to US.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got some nice hotel rooms. Don't get me wrong, but it's just different. You know what I mean? It's just there's some comfort here in the US and some convenience.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So
the rock crowds.
Yeah.
Over there are rabid, right?
Oh yeah, they're
fucking gnarly.
They're massive.
Right?
Yeah.
From what I hear and what I've seen,
pretty darn massive.
So now. Here in the States, there's been, you know, there's a lot of talk about over the last, you know, 10 plus years how, you know, rock shows and fans are kind of fizzling out and they're not as hardcore as they used to be. And if they were as hardcore overseas, then, you know, then it would make shows a lot better here. Now, what's your opinion on, you know, crowd differences between there and here?
Shit, it just depends on the band. Crowds here in the U.S. are badass. On Uproar Tour, that was the funnest tour I've ever been on in my life.
Wow, you know? Really?
Yeah, dude. It was awesome. It was well put together. Attendance was good pretty much every night. Sorry. You know, we're getting ready to do these fucking badass festivals here in the U.S., the Carolina Rebellion, the Rock on the Range, Rockville down in Florida, Rockfest down in Florida, all massive rock festivals that are equal, if not better than, say, Download or something like that. So, to me, you know, it just depends on the band. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
People bitch about not making money, and you know, you got to write a song. You know, you got to make the girls move. You got, you know,
you make the girls move.
You
got to
make the girls move, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
It can be heavy, but you got to make the girls move.
Now, you even opened for Metallica, right?
Yeah, we did. We
How was that?
That was awesome, dude. I got to stand on the side of the stage and. It was massive.
Stand on the side and watch Metallica from the side.
Yeah,
of the stage.
I was behind. They got
wow.
They got the mesh up but I could, you could see through the mesh, so there's people over here. So I'd stand. I was just like, well, God, there wasn't any pyro. I was thinking, man, I would think Metallica had a lot of pyro and stuff like that. And I'm standing here, and they went into one. And all of a sudden, it was like World War III. I mean, dude, more pyro than the whole Kiss concert during that one song. I was like, whoa. So that was pretty mind-blowing watching that.
They saved it all for that.
They saved it for that, yeah.
That's gnarly.
Yeah, they sounded good, though.
Did you get to meet any of them?
I met Lars. They had a barbecue. We did Soundwave tour with them in Australia.
Yeah.
So they threw a barbecue, a pre-tour barbecue, and had all the bands come. And let's see, Lars showed up, and James showed up, and Kirk showed up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not Robert.
No, I didn't see Robert there. Hmm. I didn't see him there. That's but cool. He could have been there.
Yeah.
He's always been a nice guy. I met him at the Golden Gods Awards one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. He seems like a super nice
dude. Yeah, he's a badass bass player.
Yeah, motherfucker. Yeah. How do you play that fucking low?
Dude, he's sick.
And still play.
Yeah.
Dude, God, man, gnarly. So that's cool. And you get to play with Metallica and all the other bands. So who are some other notable bands that you've toured with and that you like?
Yeah. That I like, I gotta say, Avenged Sevenfold. They're one of my favorite bands. Yeah, yeah. We played Uproar with them in 2011, and they're headlining these festivals we're getting ready to do.
Okay, cool.
And Bullet for My Valentine, we played with them. They're killer. Paramore was on that Soundwave tour. They were freaking awesome, dude. They're killer. God, there's so many of them, man. There's so many. Skindred.
Oh, yeah, love that band.
Yeah. Played awesome. Lots of festivals with them. Killswitch Engage, Hailstorm went on right after us at Download, and I got stood there and watched them. That girl was awesome.
Yeah, cool. So who are some of the nicest big fucking rock star bands?
Hell, the Metallica dudes were nice. All the ones who are the biggest and who've done the most are the most humble. You know what I mean? They were really, like, Metallica was really nice. Freaking all the Avenged guys are so nice, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude.
Can you clarify this for me? I heard this as a rumor from another band that they went on tour with. Mm-hmm. I'll just kind of leave it at that. Mm-hmm. They were cracking jokes, but talking shit, I guess, about Avenged Sevenfold, saying that pretty much their whole show is put on tracks, including, like, full-on guitar solos. I don't know if you even know that from playing.
Yeah, well, hell, every big band out there's got tracks rolling. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. All bands do it. But like,
even the small ones do.
No doubt, but, like, guitar solos.
I'm not thinking guitar solos. Nah, I'm not seeing that.
That would be something else. I hope not.
I'm not thinking that. From what I've seen, nah. Yeah. Them dudes are playing that.
They're fucking good.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
Really awesome. But, yeah, they're like any huge band out there wants to recreate their album the way it is. So if there's multiple layers of vocals and guitars and that, you know, there might be a little enhancement rolling. You know what I mean? But that doesn't mean that the band ain't playing. And,
of course,
and the guitar solos were definitely played by them guys.
Do you guys use tracks?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Keyboard enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
Sound effect enhancement.
Any backup vocals or anything?
We used to, but not lately anymore with Paulie in the band. So we've been keeping those, trying to keep them raw. Yeah.
See a big backup singer.
Paulie's a great singer. He's a killer bass player singer. He's awesome, dude.
That's great.
Yeah.
So he didn't do one of the tours, and Stu from Uncrowned went out with you, right?
Well, he did the tour. He just couldn't be at two shows. And
really?
Yeah, he plays with Nana, a big pop artist over in Germany. She had a hit song here called 99 Red Balloons, 99 Luft Balloons.
Yeah.
So she's still a huge star over there. He makes a good living playing with her over there.
Oh, okay.
So she was playing two huge festivals during the time that we were on tour with Anthrax over there. So Stu came in, played two shows, and teched the rest of the time and helped us out.
Oh, okay. So you didn't have to fly him in to play two shows.
No, he was on the tour with us the whole time and worked as a tech with us. And,
cool.
And also did, you know what I'm saying, just helped us out.
Yeah.
Did those two shows.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
That fills in that story. So does that, with Paulie being in that other band, does it ever bring up any conflict with him?
Not too bad.
Scheduling-wise or anything like that?
It hasn't really, because Nana doesn't stay that busy anymore.
Okay.
She does festivals summertime and stuff like that. But hadn't been really a big problem lately. And, you know, to keep him in the band, we're just pulling us up and he'll come in, you know.
Yeah.
Until we can meet her freaking guarantees that she's making.
Right.
God willing.
So take me through a typical day, on tour. Mm. Start with showtime. When you get off stage up until you get on stage the next day.
Oh, okay.
The full on day.
Get off stage, go back there and dry off, and here, you know, we'll all the band will be back there by ourselves, and we'll be talking about the good and the bad points of the show, you know, picking it apart a bit. And always very happy, usually after a show. There's really no down. There's never been a show where we'll, oh, that fucking sucked, blah, blah, blah. There hadn't been one.
That's fucking
which
great.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But man, we'll pick it apart, you know, because, you know, that's just the way it happens.
Musicians do.
Hang out. Chris Jericho, he always throws on the music. It'll be,
yeah,
cranks up Rolling Stones, old Van Halen. We'll be ending up sitting back there, and he'll ask, hey, what you want to hear, Bill? You know, throw on some Van Halen. And ask Frank, what you want to hear? Throw on some Kiss. You know, so we'll listen to everything, chill out, and then the vodka starts coming out. We pour Yeah Boy, official drink of Fozzie.
Yeah Boy.
Yeah Boy. It's called, one part Grey Goose, one part water. Boom. It's the official health drink of Fozzie.
Nice. Okay.
Have a few of them, and whoever can get in the shower first, because usually venues will have a shower, and
yep,
got to have a shower, or otherwise you're going to wake up hating it. So
yep, of course.
I usually run and get the crap out of my hair and friggin' get done with that and chill out backstage. And after that, you know, if there's sometimes they'll have an appearance or an after party for the band at clubs and whatnot, we'll go to that and have fun. Or we'll go on the bus and listen to music with some of the other bands and hang out with them and watch movies and sleep.
Big parties on the bus, fans and stuff?
Oh, yeah, there's always. I'm sure, definitely, yeah. They definitely had that happen quite a few times. We've toured with Soil, shared the bus with Soil.
Yeah.
Shared the bus with Drowning Pool, with Saxon. So, yeah, there's been massive amounts of craziness going on.
Right. Okay.
So then, you know, once you finally do go to sleep, you know, with the bus rolling, God knows I love sleeping with them rolling. If it stops, I'm hating it.
Yeah,
so,
I know what you mean.
So we roll, and then I wake up and try to find the nearest bathroom, of course, and wake up and freaking try to find something to eat. Then I'll usually do all my morning morning duties, shave and all that stuff, whatever, find the bathroom at the club, do what I got to do, and start practicing guitar a little bit. By the time you get everything ready and this, that, and the other, it's time for VIPs to come in.
Okay.
So they'll come in, watch the sound check, then the band will either do a meet and greet real quick with photos and signing their photographs, or we'll do a dinner with them, depending on where we're at.
Oh, cool.
And what the situation is. Then after that, you probably got another hour, and it's time for show.
Okay.
And it starts all over again right there.
Yeah, right on. Right, typical day of the life.
That's it.
Billy Gray and Fozzie. Awesome.
Yeah, that's so, it.
What's I know you got rabid fans out there. You got rabid Fozzie fans, Chris Jericho fans, Billy Gray fans as well. What's the craziest fan moment that you've ever experienced?
Well, there's a couple of them. Mm-hmm. One was a funny one, dude. This kid was running beside. We were in a van being taken from a festival we'd already played, and this kid was running beside the van trying to get Jericho's attention and ran into a sign, man. Bam! We were like, oh, man.
You saw it from right there in the van.
Yeah, dude, that was crazy. I'll never forget that. Then there was a creepy fan, and it was this girl. She was in, I'm not going to say what town she's in, because God only knows she's creepy.
Country?
You know, like, in the U.S. Okay. In the U.S., she brought some flout, like real creepy from the get-go, always calling our VIP liaison guy on the road, just, you know, just harassing him.
Wow.
Gave a certain member of the band some flowers and told him, hey, I got these. They aren't real real flowers, because real flowers will only die. Okay. So she's creepy, right? So I'm like, oh, fucking hell, you know. They said, oh, she'll never be at the VIP. She'll never be at another show again. But all right, cool. So this last time when we were on the U.S. tour with Saxon in New York, walking off the bus, I hear the Jay-Z, Alicia Keys, New York song. I'm like, oh, man. I look up on the marquee of B.B. King's. There's Fozzie and Saxon. I'm like, this is killer, you know. Yeah, I'm hearing the tune. I turn around, and there's that fucking crazy girl. I'm like, oh, shit. So I was like, oh my God, I can't believe, I thought she would never come in here again, you know?
Yeah.
Dude. So that was like, that was a crazy moment, dude. Yeah, you know? Yeah,
sounds
it's
like,
oh, is she going to kill somebody? I mean, fuck, she got a suicide vest on or something?
Wow. So I'm sure you could probably talk for days on
shit like, a bunch of crazy shit like that. Those are some of the standouts there for sure.
Yeah, that's I see a fucking kid hit smack into his sign. That's just
awesome.
Did he hit the ground?
Oh, dude, he didn't hit the ground, but we were just like, oh, man.
Now, when you get off tour,
yeah,
because you go out on tour for long periods of time, and so we just went through a whole day in the life of, you have a couple of days off here and there after what, probably 4, 5, 6 shows, a couple of days off, and then do it again and go and go and go, and then you go home.
Yeah.
So how do you adjust going from being out on tour and being out and doing all these crazy party rock star nights to not touring and being home again?
It's different. It's like when you get home, man, I mean, myself, I can have as much fun playing guitar in my basement in my home studio with my dog sitting there.
Right.
So, you know, it's just like a time to relax and hang out with my wife and stuff like that and just chill out and be at home. But, you know, after being at home a bit, I always love being at home, but you get that itch of hearing that intro tape start, buddy, and then you're like, oh, hell, you know, start getting a little crazy. But, nah, man, it's fun being at home, and I like this time of being at home. We're at home for like 2 months, so it's good to be able to write and to try and be a better musician and get myself into better shape and stuff like that.
Yeah, cool. So good transition into studio.
Yes.
You told me a while ago that you did some of the writing on the last album. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And now here's the new album that's coming out that you guys are working on. Mm-hmm. And what's the typical writing process for the band?
Shit, typical writing process is Richard throw drum and guitar ideas down. He's a master programmer, master guitar riffer. So he likes to hear drum and guitar and drum ideas. So I'll just throw everything I can at him, and he'll be working on his stuff. And, you know, Paulie will send him stuff, and we all put it together. You know, if he likes something, we'll work it out and make it happen, and we go from there. Of course, he does most of the best ones, and mainly the ones on the record are a lot of his. But this time we did use an outside writer who helped write hits for Hailstorm and All That Remains and a couple other big ones who have done really well on the radio. So that's killer for the band.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that element added to this band.
Yeah, so what about vocals? Does Chris write? Has he always written his own vocals?
Yes, he always writes lyrics. Rich helps out with those melodies.
Okay.
And they go from there and they build it.
Very cool. And so far, what all do you have recorded for the album?
Drums, I know, are laid down. Bass might be done now. I know probably all of Rich's rhythms are down because he'll lay them down real quick. You know, scratch right there. They're so good when he does them. Okay. You know what I mean?
No point sometimes in re-record,
He probably uses those, you know?
Yeah.
He's always working on that stuff because, like I said, he's a master in the studio. Yeah. I will say he's a master musician. Yeah, master live, masturbator. Yeah. I'm kidding.
So cool. So where? How'd you guys do drums? Where were those recorded at?
Tree Sound. We did them and cool. Do them in a big live room. Freaking get them done. We bring in Sean Grove. He helps produce them. And helps engineer them.
Okay.
And, you know, Frank, we did him for a week for this latest record. And
he just got in there and knocked him the fuck out, I'm sure.
Him out.
That guy's
yep.
a beast.
Yep, Frank knocked him out.
Yeah. Yep.
He's a great drummer. I love him.
Yeah, but love playing with him, man.
He's awesome, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. So what kind of, now I know you haven't gotten to record your parts yet, but what kind of guitars and amps are being used on this, or what? I guess what do you plan on using yourself?
For me, I've been using the Laney Ironheart, and I know I'll be using that on the record. I'll be using a Splawn head on the record.
Okay.
We might bring in a Bogner, either. I don't know if we're going to bring in an Ecstasy or Ubershaw. I kind of like the Ubershaw, so we might bring in one of those. We'll see what's up with that. But a friend of ours has one, so we're going to try to borrow it, and old Marshall cabinets with vintage 30s.
Yep, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a PV stage. Maybe a
PV stage. You know,
PV the, Bandit. Maybe 212. Yeah, maybe
for the solo tone.
Yeah, cool. And guitars.
Guitars. Gibson Les Paul for sure. I've been recording a lot, just doing it at home, working out these solos on a DBZ Bolero, which I really like. It sounds killer. And you know, we'll probably just use a bunch of different, you know, anything from Les Pauls to my Bolero to a Hellfire, which is kind of like a Firebird. It sounds kind of like one too, actually. Okay. Yeah, it's got that kind of tone, but a bit thicker. So that, and I know Rich is using some baritones on it, and just a bunch of stuff.
So you have a deal with DBZ.
Yes.
And Rich has one with Dean.
With Dean, yes.
Now, DBZ, right? The owner of DBZ,
he left
created
him.
Dean, yes, right?
Yeah.
And then left Dean to make the more high end DBZs. Right.
He's not with them anymore either.
He's not with DBZ anymore.
No, he's not. Yeah, he's gone by then. He's gone. They're calling it Diamond Guitars. They're going to start doing that.
They're going to start calling DBZ Diamond Guitars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm not mistaken, it's going to be DBZ Diamond.
Because they make,
make the heads too. They make those heads. Yeah, they make the amps. Yeah,
those are killer fucking amps.
Awesome.
Holy
amps.
Shit. Yeah. So is there any like endorsement conflict then? I guess not, but I mean, between with him playing Dean and you playing,
there's
none of that bullshit or anything.
Nope.
So
DBZ's pretty, they're pretty easy company to work with, dude. I mean, they're pretty flexible and they're very, I tell you, they equip you really well and they've been awesome to me. So, and like I said, they're a pretty flexible company to work with,
Well, I know Dear Enemy is endorsed by Diamond. And Gogi's played, I believe, the Nitrox or one of those
heads.
And fucking is awesome. But it's always stood behind everybody that works over there. They're just super nice dudes. They're always taking good care of him and everything, and that's cool, that they take care of you.
They
as
take
well.
Care of their artists, yeah.
Yeah,
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 they're
yeah,
good about
cool,
that.
So.
They are.
So you get guitars from them. What about amps? Now you said Laney, and I noticed I see a lot of Facebook pictures and stuff with Rich Ward and his Laneys. Mm-hmm. Does he have an exclusive deal with Laney?
Yeah, the band has one with him.
Okay.
And I use the Ironheart, and he uses a VH. He mixes his with a VH and an Ironheart. Sometimes he uses different combinations, different tours, and mainly me myself, I just love the Ironheart sound for live.
Okay.
And we use those, and actually Michael Kelly Guitars was nice enough to hook me up with a couple guitars too. I actually enjoy those too. I've been trying to work out some solos for this record using it too, because it's a really nice playing guitar.
And they're cheap too.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, cheap.
No, they're
inexpensive.
Yeah,
like,
very affordable.
Because I know the first few I saw, those were super sharp guitars. I saw them in a little shop in Clearwater, which they're from Clearwater. Mm-hmm. And I know they're like, wow, this guitar's nice. What's $300?
Yeah.
What the fuck? Like, can I have 10 right now?
Yeah.
I wish, but. So
yeah, they are very affordable. Yeah, as well as the DBZs are affordable. So
are they now?
Yeah, they
are. I thought they were in the like $2,000 price range.
No, they're not. They're affordable.
Okay.
No, they're affordable, bro. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to check out the catalog. You just go to dbzguitars.com and check out the 2014 catalog. They got a whole new line and very affordable.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. Super cool. So when it comes to writing all these solos and stuff, what's your typical process to what's your technique to writing these solos?
I'll highlight the region on Pro Tools, loop play the section, and just start jamming until I figure out something I really like. And what I hear in my head is too hard for me to play with my fingers and make that work, so it takes a few hours to get that to happen and just build it from there.
So you hear something in your head that you want to do, and
after jamming for a bit, then I'll start hearing it.
Okay, yeah.
So then I'll be like, oh man, let me try this, and then I have to get my hands to do it, which,
right?
God, it's another battle right there in my case.
Right.
So that's how I start building them.
So what can fans expect the upcoming album to sound like?
It's gonna be a lot different than a lot of the Fozzy records before. But it's still going to be heavy, and it's, there's going to be a lot of, a lot of groove on it for sure.
Okay.
A lot of heavy groove. And dude, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. I cannot wait. It's going to be killer.
Expected release date?
It's going to be in June. It will be in June. Yeah. Yep.
Damn.
We start pre-tour radio and all that. It'll be in April and pre-tour, you know, we'll start touring for it in April.
Okay.
Radio will release the first single mid April, May, something like that. And
okay. So
album out in June.
You say touring. Now I know you have all these festivals coming up.
Yeah.
What about an actual tour where you're going to hit everybody's home cities and stuff?
Or? Yeah, that'll be intact. Hopefully with the festivals here, we'll be out doing on the runs. We'll be hitting towns in between those festivals.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the plan anyway.
So it won't just
knock on wood.
It won't just be one-off dates to each festival. You'll actually route it out to be on tour.
Yes, that's what I'm. So that's what I'm
you're hoping for.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's what we're trying to make happen.
Yeah. I miss you guys when you came to Atlanta last, and it really bummed me, man.
That's cool.
People were saying it was the loudest show they'd seen at 120. And be the hottest show.
It was hot as hell in there. There was a lot of people in there. And, I mean, our sound guy does what he does, you know. I mean, just
crank that shit up and rock.
Yeah, usually he doesn't really run loud. I don't know. Yeah, he's pretty laid back with his volume. So maybe they're used to seeing freaking, I don't know.
Country.
I don't know who they're used to seeing in there, you know.
Yeah. Cool. So that was... at least your first hometown show.
Since Uproar tour.
Okay, wow, yeah. Since Uproar.
Mm-hmm.
I missed you on Uproar too, which I was fucking bummed. I got like, I think 30 minutes after you guys got off stage.
Oh, really?
I hear you.
It's all good.
So I still haven't seen Fozzy yet.
Oh, here.
Yeah,
we'll be back.
Yeah, right on. I want to see some Fozzy in Atlanta.
Yeah, dude.
So now you're back home. I saw a post online on Facebook that you're teaching guitar lessons. And
yes.
Obviously you have since you were a kid.
Yeah.
But you're looking for students, I guess. And
yep. Looking to build a clientele and to teach kids how to play. And, you know, no offense to DJs, but we need some freaking live damn musicians
fucking
back in this
right
damn generation. Bring rock and roll back and quit bullshitting.
Yeah, you
know what
I mean?
I want to be at the forefront of helping these kids to learn to play. And, you know, no offense to you DJs, but fuck it. We need some real musicians.
Yeah, absolutely. So
there ain't no performance in the DJ. I'm sorry.
No.
Done. There ain't no.
Push a couple buttons, turn a couple.
Yeah, you stand up there, you turn around, have you a drink, talk to the chicks behind you, come up, wave your hands in the air, push a button, that's it.
And you're all over the fucking TVs and radios.
So it's got to change.
It's got to change.
Yeah.
Fucking rock is not dead.
That's right. No, it never will be.
No, fuck no.
There wouldn't be no DJs if there wasn't no fucking rock.
Ain't
so
that
it'll never
truth.
Be dead.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're, what would set you apart from kids going into Guitar Center, not Guitar Center because they don't teach lessons, but a little mom pop music store or something?
What would set me apart is if they had any questions about hey, these kids might be doing a little show at the high school and stuff like that. Hey, what would make it go easier? And you know, this is a clinic. We Fozzy's done clinics over in England where. You know, Rich came up with the idea of, you know, hey, tell them about gig preparation and what the hell to really look for. Hey, guess what? If you're playing this club, you know, be ready to go in there and run and gun it. Get your gear set up as quick as you can. Have your tuner, you know, tell them the steps it takes to actually play a show and make it successful.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't learn that shit.
No.
Just like in school, you don't learn the essentials of...
Oh, we're playing a masquerade tonight. Oh, awesome. Your band's playing there. Yeah, get ready. You can be one of six. Hurry up and wait. Do your best and sell your band as best as you can.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Well, cool, man. So now are you planning to teach just beginners?
I teach them all. Any of them.
I could come take some lessons from you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Anybody can. You don't have to. You don't need to.
Oh, I fucking need lessons.
I'll teach anybody, dude. I'll teach kids, whatever.
Cool.
Yeah,
super
man.
Cool, man.
I used to do it back home in Charlotte. I worked at a music store, taught anywhere from freaking 8 and 10 year olds to freaking 30 and 40 year olds. So yeah, cool. I did it all.
So how can students get in touch with you?
Just message me on the Facebook page right now. I got I have a Billy_Gray musician page. And then I have my page. So just hit me on that.
I noticed you just capped out at your 5,000 friends.
I did, yeah. So, man, what the hell? You know?
I was like, yes, I'm in that 5,000.
Yes. I couldn't believe it. I was like, they don't let you have more than that? That's weird.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But
whatever. It is what it is.
Page. Cool. So, now your live shows, when you play out, you super energetic shows. I noticed from a lot of pictures you wear, your clothing and everything. You wear a lot of the Billy Gray logo stuff that I made for you.
That you made?
And yes, every time I see those pictures, I'm like, yes. Yeah. So any of you fans out there, you see those pictures of Billy Gray wearing those shirts that has a little icon. If you don't know what that is, it's a little BG logo.
Crop circle.
Crop circle.
My wife designed it. You came up with it too. Yep. Bam.
I created the actual digital vector version of it.
Yep.
And I put it on some fucking t-shirts for him. And it's, So that shirt I made, you see, but also, you see that logo on your guitars, a couple of
guitars,
them.
Guitars, yeah. Picks. Vinyl.
Picks, yeah.
Yeah, picks.
So that's a good little Billy Gray logo. Now, you also wear a lot of other really cool clothes, and I think you have some sort of endorsement.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What, tell me a little bit about that.
I got one with this company called Warnstar.
Warnstar,
yes. And they're... It's a guy and his wife. They own the company, and she makes custom clothing as well as like they manufacture t-shirts. You know what I'm saying? They have badass clothes.
I noticed,
but they will always make custom stuff that you can't get anywhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he's also a big time graphic artist and photographer. He designed, like, if you remember Dimebag's guitars from Dean with the flames on them back in during the Damage Plan days and all that.
Uh-huh.
Stefan from Warnstar did all those graphics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he designed all the latest line of guitars for DBZ, designed all those. There's that. I got it's a little connection right there.
Okay.
But he's a killer photographer. I mean, to me, one of the best photographers ever in rock.
So does he shoot your band then?
Yeah, he does. And he and his wife own Warnstar, and she does all the clothing, and he does all the graphic arts and photography.
Cool.
So, yeah. And they've done me really right. They've done the whole band really right. And also Rock and Roll Gangstar, Daryl Boyd, he's out of L.A. He's got some killer, awesome clothes. Love him to death. So, yeah, those are two of the ones that definitely helped the band and helped me out.
Very cool. I really dig the Warnstar stuff and all the pictures I see. And it's cool because I think you put up a picture within the last day or so of like a work in progress of something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that she was doing. Yeah, yeah. I do that a lot.
How,
yeah.
How cool is that? You get to see like.
Yeah.
And it's not like, you know, D-bag affliction type shit. It's actual just fucking cool clothes.
Exactly. It is. Yeah. It's one of a kind, you know.
Now, and also going back to your live shows, you guys are super fun and energetic. And again, I've never even seen you play. But I just see the pictures. You're super fun and energetic and everything. And you guys look like you're always having a good time. Now, like, how do you stay in shape while you're out on the road?
Don't eat sweets. Don't drink a bunch of beer and soda.
Yeah.
Let's see. Me and my wife have been on that paleo diet where we hadn't been eating bread. Like, she'll make bread out of freaking coconut flour and stuff like that, dude.
Yeah.
And I got to say, man, I feel better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't eat much bread anyway, but just dieting and stuff like that. And Chris Jericho freaking does yoga every day on the road.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah. Every day. He diets like hell. Rich Ward always does cardio. I'll do cardio or any kind of workout. Frank always does it. Paulie always does it.
So there's everybody's super fucking in shape.
Yeah. I forgot to add that during my daily routine that we do some working out.
Yeah. No, you have to.
The boys were more important.
Yeah, I remember seeing Stuck Mojo and Typo Negative, which is Typo Negative.
I remember that tour too.
Yeah, this is like
awesome.
Typo has always been my favorite band. I remember seeing them in Athens, and I think Typo was about to go on. Stuck Mojo was headlining that night, and right outside the tour buses where I was out hanging out with some friends, and Rich Ward had a shopping cart.
Yeah,
and it was full of fucking weights.
Yep.
And like a shopping cart.
We still got the weights under our bus too, buddy. Oh, yeah.
Man, just constantly fucking. And he was back there just before. That's how he's so fucking ripped. Yeah.
So, he was out there working out at we were on the Uproar tour. He was doing this mad routine out in front of the bus. I mean, it was burning hot, dude. I mean, sweating fucking balls. This old lady standing out, one of the security ladies where all the buses are at, just, you know, how they have ladies or whoever to make sure nobody comes through or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, just casual job. She's watching him and all that. And, you know, he gets done, goes and has a shower and comes back and walks past her. And she looks at him and goes, you clean up pretty good. Nice. I think, after all that, you clean up pretty good.
That's hilarious, man. So you guys got to have, you know, we all have your own motivation and everything through the band, you know, like being in a band with Chris Jericho, professional wrestler.
You don't want to be, you don't be a sloucher with him. I mean, you know what I'm saying? He smacked in the mouth. No, I'm just kidding. He's nice as hell, dude. At all.
You know what? I was flying back from Tampa with my son. It was the week before you would come in here, and I think it was Frank had emailed me or called me and needed me to email him the file for the kick drum head because you were going to Australia and had need to get it printed over there.
Yes.
So so he told me that you guys were going to Australia.
Yeah.
And I got on the plane coming back home from Tampa with my son, and I'm in line right fucking behind Chris Jericho. I'm like, that's fucking Chris Jericho. So he ended up getting on the plane, and he was went to the bathroom, came right back. So we crossed paths like that. I'm like, I got in his way. I'm like, oh, God, I'm in his way. I'm like, hey, by the way, you're Chris Jericho, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. I'm like, cool, I'm friends with Billy and Frank, you know, like,
yeah.
So I got to shake his hand and say what's up.
Yeah, he's a good dude, man.
He seems like it.
He's a real good dude.
Awesome, man. Well, I got a quick little segment that I like to do. I just started this with my last podcast. And
okay.
Giving it a name for the first time. It's called the Backstage Quickies.
Gotcha.
And it's really just quick questions.
Yeah.
It's no need to elaborate on any answers or anything like that. Just quick ones. So favorite city for food.
Favorite city for food? Oh, my God. I mean, there's a bunch of American cities are the best. Go ahead and say the South for, you know. Hey, I'm a Cracker Barrel guy, you know.
You're Southern boy.
Go ahead and say that. But overseas, I'm going to say Nando's. So that's over in the UK. That's a good chicken joint over there.
Chicken joint.
Yeah.
That's okay.
A good place. Good VIP meals.
Nice. So, all right, we're going to the bar. We're doing shots. I'm buying. What are we drinking?
Oh, vodka and water. Yeah, boys.
Okay, cool. Yeah, boys. I'll remember that. Motley Crue or Metallica?
I'm going to say Metallica.
Kiss or Iron Maiden?
Iron Maiden for me.
All right. And what's on your personal rider? Not what you actually have. What would be your actual personal rider be?
God, man, that's a good one, dude. I mean, shit, I definitely, you know, keep it the band Grey Goose. Maybe some vitamin water. God, oh, geez. You know, just healthy stuff like, you know, some cheese or something. This is what we always have right now. I'm pretty light on that. Yeah. I'm pretty light on that.
Not like 100 red M&Ms.
Hell no. No candy, no sweets for me. I can't do that. Maybe a Red Bull. I'll take one of those for after the gig to get all amped up afterwards, too.
Right.
Jacked up like a spider monkey.
What kind of food do you guys have on the bus?
On the bus, just healthy stuff, man. We'll hit Walmarts, man. We're in America. It's all Walmart, buddy. Everybody gets whatever they want and throw it in the fridge, label it. Don't touch my shit.
Yeah, you ever get noticed in Walmart? Or like Chris Jericho?
Yeah, he does, definitely. He does, definitely. Yeah, he does.
Of course in Walmart, you know.
Airports. It's crazy, man.
Yeah,
it's fun, dude.
So, what do you do off tour? What hobbies besides guitars?
Hiking with my wife.
Hiking?
Yeah, love hiking. Love going to the mountains, camping.
What mountains?
All the Georgia mountains up into North Carolina, Tennessee, all around here. Yeah, all around here. That's our favorite thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, dude.
So you go camping and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Take the dogs?
Take the dogs. Oh, yeah.
You don't have any kids, do you?
No kids, just dogs.
Yeah. Any plans for kids? Or?
No. I think we're just going to go out the way it is, dude.
All right, cool. And this is a last little segment. I always post out there. I don't know if I had enough advance notice to get out to your fans and stuff, but I posted out on Facebook and Twitter and got, you know, to see if there's anything that people want to know about you or anything. And got a couple questions. Someone from Lyle Jeffers. He's actually my cousin.
Okay.
Who's always been a huge wrestling fan.
Gotcha.
Lives up in Cincinnati. And wants to know how's the balance between wrestling and music with Chris Jericho?
With Chris, you know, when I first joined the band, it was definitely more wrestling. Now, since the release of Chasing the Grail and the way things have evolved, definitely more band these days. So we've been staying pretty busy, and you know, Chris is good at everything he does. So you know, when he wants to go back to wrestling, he always works it out to where he's back on there. But right now, with the latest record that we released, Sin and Bones, and with the new one coming out now, it's going to be pretty much balls out with the band.
All band. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. and Michael Bennett, who's actually my brother.
Okay.
It's funny. These two questions come from my family. And that's my brother. So knowing that he's my brother, he doesn't know you. He doesn't know Fozzy. He doesn't know. He's EDM, electronic DJ
music
type shit.
Okay.
So he doesn't know rock at all, which is funny. I'm going to throw him under the bus because he's not even going to listen to this. But he asked, he's just being a smart ass. Why do you go by Billy and not Bill?
Because Billy sounds cooler, and my wife says I'll always be the kid.
Yeah. Love that answer. And then Jake Kitchen, are you still a chicken fucker?
Fucking chickens by the dozens, Jake.
How do you know Jake?
He played in a version of Dangerous New Machine. He played in the first version with Eric and I, and it didn't work out with him. So we ended up getting Randy after him and did our thing for a bit, and that was it.
He also played in a version of the post-Dear Enemy band, Via Seva.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know Jake played in Via Seva.
Well, he played and rehearsed with them and helped write with them for a period of time, but I guess it probably didn't pay the bills like all the cover bands he's done, which is, makes sense. You know?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's definitely into that and makes money that way.
It makes a lot of money. So.
Yeah, good for him.
Well, Billy Gray, how can people find out about the music and updates and everything like that?
Dude, they can go to my Facebook page. They can go to FozzyRock.com. They can go to my Twitter page, Billy_Gray. They can go to my musician page, Billy_Gray also. They can go to Fozzy's Facebook page. All those outlets.
That's great.
Yeah.
Great. Well, dude, I fucking...
Well, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah.
Awesome, dude.
Back on the Rock Mob podcast. Hell yes. And all you listeners out there, make sure you check it out on iTunes. Leave a comment, a review, subscribe, rockmobpodcast.com. Come back and be friends with us. I always talk to cool-ass people like Billy Gray. It's a circle of life and music, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Woohoo. So that's it. Billy Gray, Fozzy, 6-speed. Didn't mention that one earlier. 6-speed Method 51. As you heard about that. Crazy. And Sound Device. Dangerous New Machine. Fozzy again. Back in the studio. That's it. Thank you for tuning in. You know where to follow us. You know where to find us. I'm going to play a track off Sin and Bones. This one's called Dark Passenger. Playing this one because it's called Dark Passenger. You know who the Dark Passenger is, right? Dexter Morgan. Maybe not this Dark Passenger, but that's why I'm playing this one. Sick, evil, twisted song. Yes. Here it is. Come back next week. Listen, follow, subscribe, comment, love. RockMobPodcast.com. Peace. That's strange.
of time, and when that stranger arrives, he's my time.